Radio Prague News.
US and Czech soldiers are being investigated over the death of an Afghan prisoner. President Zeman has opened a Czech house in Jerusalem, and moves are being made to introduce trams running down Wenceslas Square. American and Czech soldiers are under investigation in connection with the death of an Afghan commando who was beaten while in NATO custody in western Afghanistan, the New York Times reported on Monday. The commando, Wahidullah Khan, was accused of killing a Czech soldier last month in one of four deadly insider attacks this year by Afghan forces on NATO troops. A spokesman for the Czech Ministry of Defense confirmed the ongoing investigation, but strongly denied accusation that Czech troops were involved in Mr. Khan's death. President Miloš Zeman, who is on a three-day state visit to Israel, opened a Czech house in Jerusalem on Tuesday, together with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The facility will bring together a Czech centre and the offices of Czech Trade, Czech Invest and Czech Tourism. Mr. Zeman had earlier had lunch with the Israeli Prime Minister. The Czech Ministry of Defence is waiting impatiently for the government to sign off on the biggest purchase in the modern history of the Czech Army, Pravo reported on Tuesday. The military aims to purchase 210 infantry fighting vehicles at a cost of 53 billion crowns, the newspaper said, adding that there is cross-party backing for the move. Four European manufacturers are expected to take part in the tender process. One condition will be that a significant part of the production and servicing take place in conjunction with VOPCZ, a Czech state enterprise run by the Ministry of Defence. The Prague authorities have taken the first step to reintroducing tram lines running down Wenceslas Square. At a meeting on Tuesday, the recently elected council instructed the Transport Authority to begin preparations for a connection between existing tracks on Vinohradská Street and those crossing the lower half of the city's main thoroughfare. Deputy Mayor for Transport Adam Scheinherr says the lines could be in place within 4 years. Trams went from the National Museum down Wenceslas Square until the 1980s. Another line running from Vinohradská past Prague's main train station is also planned for a later date, officials say. The number of newly registered HIV cases in the Czech Republic has evidently fallen slightly, Czech TV reported on Tuesday. While last year 254 new cases of HIV were recorded, the number for the first 10 months of this year was 178. Experts say the decline can most likely be attributed to the introduction of new medicines to treat HIV some years ago. Coalition parties ANO and the Social Democrats have agreed to set up a new commission on pensions. It will explore changes to the pension system and should contain party representatives, experts, academics and people from seniors organisations and NGOs. The parties have also agreed to increase the state children's allowance. From 2020, families will get a total of 300,000 crowns. That's up from the present amount of 220,000 crowns. And the weather forecast, it should be cloudy with some bright spells in the Czech Republic on Wednesday. Temperatures will be up to 0 degrees Celsius. Snow is forecast for the end of the week and the weekend. My name is Ian Willoughby and that is the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, President Miloš Zeman, addressing the Israeli parliament, vows to do all he can to move the Czech embassy to Jerusalem, despite EU objections. The town of Liberec grants honorary citizenship to a 95-year-old kinder transport survivor and fighter pilot with the RAF. And we look into efforts to clean up landfills and boost recycling efforts in the town of Přibyslav. All that is coming up shortly, so please do stay with us. On a state visit to Israel, President Miloš Zeman on Monday addressed a special session of the country's parliament, the Knesset, the first Czech politician ever to do so. Mr. Zeman highlighted the special relationship between the two countries and vowed to do everything in his power to ensure that the Czech embassy be moved to Jerusalem. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
Prime Minister Netanyahu said that the Czech Republic is the best friend of Israel in Europe. I wonder why only in Europe.
President Zeman opened his address to the packed assembly by voicing his special relationship to Israel, which he earlier called his second home, and citing his country's historic support for the Jewish people. Mr. Zeman made it clear that he would like to see that support go much further, not only from his own country's government, but from the European Union.
We Europeans, and now I do not speak about America, I speak about European Union, are sometimes hesitating. We sometimes are the cowards. It is very important, isn't it? But I'm afraid it is frank. And that's why it is necessary to express all the time the solidarity with Israel, because betraying Israel, we betray ourselves.
At the end of his address, President Zeman vowed to do his utmost to get the Czech embassy moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, despite his limited executive power. He said the first step had been the appointment of an honorary consul in Jerusalem, the second Tuesday's opening of the Czech House, an office space which will house government institutions but which will have no official diplomatic status, and finally the moving of the Czech embassy itself, which the Czech government has so far resisted on the grounds that the European Union is strongly opposed to the move.
Well, friends, I am no dictator, unfortunately. But I promise I'll do my best in order to realize the third step after Honorary Consulate and after Czech House. And you may guess what is to be the third step.
Earlier, in talks with his host, President Rivlin, Mr. Zeman said he was intrigued with his idea of one state with two nations, adding that he personally could not envisage an independent state in the Gaza Strip since he perceived Hamas as a terrorist organization. He said President Rivlin's idea was provocative, but noted that all bold ideas were. President Rivlin thanked him for the Czech Republic's friendship and cooperation, noting that in the current situation, Czech-Israel friendship was more important than ever.
Daniela Lazareva reporting. Now, Kurt Tausig is one of the 669 Czech Jewish children who were saved from the Holocaust by Sir Nicholas Winton on the eve of the Second World War. The 95-year-old man, who went on to join the RAF as a fighter pilot, has since lived in Great Britain and, until recently, was unknown to Czech historians. Now, more than 75 years after he left the country, he was granted honorary citizenship in his birth town of Teplice. Ruth Frankova has the story.
According to historians, one in five of the so-called Winton children who were adopted by British families after escaping the Holocaust eventually enlisted to fight the Nazis. To this day, many of those life stories remain hidden in the archives. The story of 95-year-old Kurt Tausig, who left Czechoslovakia on one of the kinder transports organised by Nicholas Winton, was discovered only 2 years ago by historian Milan Herčut and was recently brought to public attention by Czech television. Mr. Tausig was born into a Czech-German-Jewish family in the North Bohemian town of Teplice. In 1938, they fled the occupied Sudetenland and went into hiding, but they eventually ended up in a detention camp.
Factually, thinking about what could I do to get out of this mess by committing suicide, when my brother who was cleverer than I was, he found out in Prague was this organization.
The organization referred to by Mr. Tausig was managed by Sir Nicholas Winton and helped to save altogether 669 Jewish children from the Nazi-occupied country. Kurt Tausig and his younger brother Karel escaped on the very last train that was dispatched from Prague on the 2nd of August 1939. Their parents and oldest brother ended up in a concentration camp. In Great Britain, Mr. Tausig tried to join the Czechoslovak squadron of the British Royal Air Force, but he was dismissed due to his German origin. He didn't give up, and in 1942 he entered a British squadron operating in the Mediterranean, eventually becoming a fighter pilot. Historian Milan Herčut.
It was a very dangerous job. He flew in Italy in the mountains, close to the ground and at very high speed, so it required great piloting skills.
After the end of the war, the three Tausig brothers reunited in Great Britain. By that time, the two younger ones had already started forgetting their native tongue, explains Karel Tausig.
We were not allowed to speak German. We would have had our throat cut. And Czech was similarly. We couldn't say, this is not German, this is Czech. So we cut it out completely. So after 2 years, we had amalgamated to such an extent that apart from my parents being stuck over there, I had no love or feeling for anything that happened on the other side of the channel, if you like.
One thing that remained close to Mr. Tausig's heart is his birthplace of Teplice, which he visited repeatedly. Now, 76 years after he left the town, he was granted honorary citizenship.
Ruth Frankova with that report. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it is now time for our main feature, In Focus. As with all other developed countries, the Czech Republic has a waste problem. Even though households do not, in fact, produce even half as much garbage as those in the United States do, for example, the Czech government is looking for new ways to increase recycling. Ironically, some towns and companies make a lot of money from traditional landfills, so it is not always easy to change old ways. Vít Pohanka has more.
Ale to je otázka potom předpisu a dalších věcí, udělat nějaká bike trialová trať, jakoby, jo, na to, na těhle kopsvání.
Martin Kamarád is a mayor of Přibyslav, a small town of some 4,000 people about 160 kilometers southeast of Prague. He's showing me around a huge landfill that was developed on the town's land. It is quite well hidden from the main road and surrounding villages by hills and trees. You can actually see it only if you get directly to its gates. But its size is quite astonishing, and it's no wonder, says Mayor Kamarád.
Je to skládka, která je v provozu od roku 1995 a za tu dobu zde bylo uloženo dokonce.
This landfill has been in use since 1995, and some 820,000 tons of mixed municipal waste had been stored here by the end of last year. Besides the main landfill, there are some other sections where we can separate and prepare for recycling some types of waste. We make compost from the biodegradable waste and also separate glass, plastic, paper and other types of waste. We have space for storing construction material that can be reused. For example, we reuse the earth dug out during construction for the revegetation of this fill.
This revegetation means isolating and covering the huge pile of garbage by earth and planting grass and bushes or low trees over it. Martin Kamarád explains the process.
Před sebou vidíme čerstvě dostavené nové pole pro skládkování, který je
vytvořen. This is a completely new field ready to be filled. So what you can see is something like a big swimming pool that has been excavated and covered with a special landfill liner or membrane. This is strictly required by the environmental agency. It is intended to prevent leaking of waste liquids and their potentially toxic constituents into underground water and nearby streams. It is anchored by heavy chipped or waste tires and covered by a special type of gravel. Only then can we start depositing municipal waste. Once the waste starts piling a few meters high, we cover it again with landfill and seal it to the underlying one. So the whole landfill, in the end, becomes a sort of huge sealed sack that, in the end, is covered by earth and gradually more grass.
The landfill near Přibyslav is used by other towns in the area. Waste of dozens of thousands of people is buried here. So I ask what the locals think about it. Why should they agree to have this garbage dump near the place they live? Didn't they protest when the plans to open it were announced? Mayor Kamarád agrees it was politically difficult to persuade them that this was the right thing to do, but in the end they agreed.
Musím říct, že to byl jeden z velkých počinů úplně prvního starosty města Mojmíra Novotného, který vlastně hned v 90. letech vybudoval.
I must say it was one of the great achievements of the first mayor of the town after the fall of communism, Mojmír Novotný. He managed to push through two key environmental projects for the town in the 1990s. The first was a water treatment plant that we did not have previously, so our sewage was openly polluting the Sázava River. And the second biggest project was this landfill. I know it may sound strange, naming a landfill as a project to protect the environment, but you have to understand that under communism there was no proper system of waste disposal. There were some more or less accidental landfills, some of them completely illegal, stinking places often infested with rats and without any sort of environmental supervision. So the situation was truly catastrophic.
V zásadě vznikaly živelně skládky, teda ta situace byla opravdu v tomhle katastrofální.
In other words, the landfill helps to manage the waste disposal in an organized manner, sanctioned by the government and in accordance with the European Union regulation. What's more, the town gets paid some 20 euros or $23 for each ton of the waste disposed at the landfill.
Díky tomu se v Přibyslavi postavilo téměř vše, co se tam dneska nachází, od školy za 170 milionů.
Nearly all the public construction projects in Přibyslav went ahead thanks to the landfill. Our school was renovated for 170 million crowns and the streets were repaved. We now have an outdoor swimming pool and a sports hall. And this was built thanks to the finances we get from the landfill. On average, we got about 20 million crowns more money in the town's treasury than we would have had without the landfill. But I would also like to stress that, of course, part of the extra money has been invested into the landfill. It has been used for revegetation and upkeep of this facility.
But the European Union takes generally dim view of landfills. They should be phased out gradually. European countries should recycle everything that is recyclable, use new technologies to burn the rest, and bury in landfills only a fraction of the waste. Mayor Kamarád agrees, but explains it is not easy in his town to install new technologies necessary for such a fundamental change.
Musíme přemýšlet skutečně směrem k tomu energetickému využití. My jsme si tady nechávali zpracovat studii.
We really have to think about the possibility of using the waste to somehow create power. We have had some studies done as to whether we could have some sort of small power generating facility right here by the landfill. It seemed to be economically viable. Unfortunately, such small facilities are not, at the moment, run anywhere in Central Europe. At least we couldn't find any. And without an example that we could see with our own eyes or ask concrete questions about all the implications of its operations, we cannot go ahead, not at our municipal level.
Martin Kamarád is just one of the thousands of Czech mayors who have to worry about the future. There have been media reports that suggested that landfills will have to be closed by the year 2024, according to the present legislation. Jaromír Manhart is the director for waste disposal at the Czech Ministry of Environment. He explains it's a misunderstanding.
Rok 2024 neznamená pro Českou republiku úplný zákaz.
The year 2024 does not mean an end of all landfills in the Czech Republic. It means only certain hard limits for disposing of mixed waste in landfills. The main and sole reason is European Union targets. By 2025, 55% of all municipal waste must be recycled. By 2030, it must be 60%. And for 2035, the target is 65%. Right now in the Czech Republic, we recycle only about 38%. The biggest problem is that some 2.5 million tons of all solid municipal waste is now sent to landfills every year, even though it could be recycled. In other words, nearly half of all the waste that we dispose of in this inefficient manner could be reused, or to be precise, 45% of all our domestic waste.
But can we do it?
Reálné to je, protože pokud se podíváme na vlastní zkušenosti České republiky.
It is realistically possible. When we look back at our own experience, some 8 years ago, we were sending 65% of all our municipal waste to landfills, and today it's only 45%. We must, however, concentrate on one hard target. In 2035, we should not send more than 10% of municipal waste to landfills. It is achievable in 17 years, but we have to change the behavior and thinking on all levels of our society. We are preparing new legislation that should motivate communities and individual households to recycle more, and not just via restrictive and blunt measures, such as increasing the costs of waste disposal. We want to make it possible for municipalities to charge households in relation to how much waste they generate. That is definitely one of the instruments that we want to have included in the new Waste Disposal Act.
So the new legislation is in the works. It is being drafted with the help of environmental organizations such as Hnutí Duha, Friends of the Earth, Czech Republic. Ivo Kropáček is its chief expert on waste.
Určitě je potřeba, aby se stalo to, že ty skládky už nebudou nejlevnějším způsobem nakládání z odpady.
Landfills definitely have to cease being the cheapest method of waste disposal, which they are right now. Right now, the Czech government charges around 20 euros per ton of waste on a landfill. West European states charge up to 3 times as much, some even more than 60 euros per ton.
Pro obce, které budou hodně třídit a posílat odpady, kde to hodně.
At the same time, the communities that will recycle more should be more motivated. Our movement has already proposed to the Ministry of Environment some changes in the law in this direction. The simple aim is this: if you send your waste to the landfill, you are going to pay more than you do today. If, on the other hand, you do recycle, you don't pay as much as others who don't, or you pay the same amount for waste disposables that you are paying for today. There simply has to be more pressure on the local authorities to make recycling more attractive to people, for example, by placing more recycling bins and at locations that are convenient for people to use, and to give them the basic incentive that works most of the time, if not all of the time. You pay more if you produce more waste. If you recycle, you pay less than someone who doesn't.
In fact, the Czech Republic doesn't produce as much waste as some other developed countries. According to the data of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, Germans, not to mention Americans, have got a much bigger problem on their hands in this respect. But in Ivo Kropáček's view, Czechs should look for positive examples.
V České republice produkujeme nějakých 280 kilo toho směsného netříděného odpadu na hlavu.
We Czechs produce on average 280 kilograms of the mixed unrecyclable waste per capita per year. Believe it or not, there are municipalities in Italy that produce some 20 kilos of such waste per person per year. They managed to reduce the amount to less than a tenth of what we produce here in the Czech Republic. How did they achieve that? Well, by a consistent, thought-out, long-term strategy. It requires the cooperation of all sectors of society, public, private, and corporate.
Tam třeba narazili na to, že ve směsném odpadu jim zůstávají kelímky od toho Nespresso, třeba Italové.
For example, they found out that the plastic cups for Espresso Cafe, which is so popular in Italy, cannot be recycled. The authorities spoke to the companies selling the espresso, explaining that such a policy is unacceptable, and they started using recyclable cups. And I believe that is the only way to go, to start working step by step, year by year, measure by measure, so that we produce as little unrecyclable waste as possible.
Aby toho směsného odpadu bylo co nejméně.
Ivo Kropáček, Friends of the Earth, Czech Republic. Obviously, there is a lot of work to be done if Czechia wants to manage its waste in an environmentally sound and sustainable way. What is certain, the garbage problem will not go away by itself. Vít Pohanka, Radio Prague.
And that edition of In Focus also brings us to the end of our program here today on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about the content, please do get in touch
Our email address is english@radio.cz. You can also contact us on Facebook or via Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. I'm Brian Kennedy saying thanks for listening and goodbye for now.